Are you ready to get your sports banter on? Brian Henninger, love child of Albert Einstein and Howard Cosell, with a body chiseled by Zeus himself. Brandon Sharples, a man who could beat Mike Tyson. In a spelling bee, together they form the At Odds Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your host, Brian Henninger, and this is the At Odds Podcast. We have an insanely fun show in store for you guys today. This is our NFL Draft Blowout Special. We'll be joined in 15 minutes by Joe Ginley, one of the editors of the Cleveland Browns SB Nation site, Dogs by Nature. And then in 40 minutes, we'll be joined by Chris Gates. He is the owner and operator of the Minnesota Vikings SB Nation site, the Daily Norseman. So we have some experts going to be coming in, giving us some insight to both of our favorite NFL teams. And by our, I mean my awesome fellow co-host, silky smooth Brandon Sharples. Brandon, how you doing today, man?
Pretty good. I am Brandon Sharples, again, your handsome co-host. I'm excited about this show. I can't wait to talk to this guy about the Vikings and see what his ideas are about the draft and, you know, bounce ideas back and forth and go from there, man. I'm pumped.
Yeah, the Vikings have a lot to think about because, you know, they don't have a first rounder, so they're going to have to be creative on draft day.
I think there's a lot of top-end talent in the draft, you know what I mean? I think it kind of dips off after that, so I'm hoping we make a little move to get up in there and get a guy we like. So We'll see who that is, but once we talk to this Chris Gates, we'll see who he thinks we should trade up for if we get a chance.
Oh, excellent. And that's not the only thing happening in today's show. We have a lot more to talk about. There is more Aaron Hernandez fallout, and then we're going to kick things off right now, actually, with the ESPN layoffs. Not a huge shocking move, but ESPN announced over 100 staff layoffs today, and everybody's out there posted on Twitter, hey, I worked for 17 years, and now I'm gone. I'm 9 years, I'm gone. Notably, not a lot of television personalities being laid off. It's a lot of the staff behind the scenes, the sideline reporters, a lot of the writers, stuff like that. It feels like, you know, ESPN doesn't seem to give a crap about those people. They want their on-air personalities.
Yeah. I heard that it seemed like they definitely took a lot of people off the air, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, one of my favorites, I cannot remember the dude's name, but he was...
Hey, Brian.
Yeah.
You're cutting out a little bit on your mic there.
All right, well, I'll let you talk about ESPN while I try to fix my internet quick.
Sure. All right, guys, sorry about that. Brian's having a little technical difficulties here. As far as ESPN's layoffs, so let's talk about why they're doing this, why they're deciding to have to do this. See, what happened is ESPN has a terrible business model. They basically surrounded their entire business model on the fact that people are going to buy subscriptions from places like DirecTV, Dish TV, basically just cable and internet subscriptions. And what it is that when you pay for these internet or these cables and internet subscriptions, you're actually buying channels separately, but like in a package. So ESPN, for example, costs like $7. And it's one of the most expensive channels that comes in your package. And with the huge amount of dip in the amount of people buying DirecTV, cable, or anything like that because of the fact that we have a lot of streaming options online now, it's starting to cause a lot of issues for ESPN because they base their entire financial model off of, you know, getting revenue from this dying industry. And what they did was they drastically overpaid for all these rights to the NFL games, specifically Monday Night Football, a lot of college football. You know, they bought the SEC Network. They got all that stuff going on, and they drastically overpaid for all of it, and they thought they were going to make it up through all this revenue through these cable channels and stuff and getting commercial revenue, and it's just not working out for them. And then on top of that, you know, the average, they started getting really far left in the political scheme. They started kind of shoving a lot of their political agendas down everybody's throats. And what you, you know, what they didn't realize is that, you know, this, sports is something that people, this is their, you know, this is their dessert. You know what I mean? This is what they take at the end of the day when, or, you know, in the morning time, basically at the end of their week, they're tired of dealing with everyday life. And this is something that was, you know, sports is something that kind of gets people to not think about the bad parts of life. You know, they're supposed to be able to enjoy themselves, drinking beer, watching sports. They don't have to, they don't want to involve all the bullshit that's outside of sports, because sports is supposed to be something to help them get through the tough times. Well, ESPN started shoving a lot of political agenda down people's throats, and it was really off-putting to a lot of people, and they started losing a lot of subscribers that way. Their insider program they have, where you pay for their insider information, people stop by the millions. They're losing, they lose like 10,000 subscriptions a day over the last year. And you know, a lot of it's contributed to the fact that they, you know, they give Caitlyn Jenner a hero award, and they, you know, call you a racist if you don't have certain ideas that they have. And it's very interesting the way they set up their business model, how they alienated a good portion of their audience. And you know, the average football fan is not a far left extremist. A lot of these guys are conservative people. They don't want to hear this shit and this kind of agenda. So they're not only failing fiscally, but they're failing at the message they're trying to send and the idea of escaping from everyday life. So that's one of the huge reasons why they failed.
Do I sound better first?
No, it doesn't.
Fuck. This is gonna suck.
Yeah. So they got they laid off 100 people today, and you know, it gets to the point where they're starting. They laid off people like Trent Dilfer and Danny Cannell, and people like, they laid off almost everybody that's important in their NHL sector, basically saying that they don't think hockey even matters. You know, they're just going to throw somebody in there to give their 42 seconds of airtime, you know, a night. You know, so basically what's going to happen is the more people start to cancel these subscriptions, basically ESPN's fucked. But the only thing they got going for it is they're owned by Disney, and Disney is going to find other avenues so they don't necessarily fail. But their current business model is going to have to change, or they're completely shit. They're completely done. So as far as that is concerned, my take on ESPN is that they're down a road that can't be fixed, because they have all this money tied up in all these bad contracts, and whoever was you know, head of their marketing department didn't really do a good enough job. So that's my take. My co-host Brian, he's going to go ahead and restart his computer and see what he can do about it. But yeah, it costs $7 a month is what you're paying for ESPN subscription. That's $84 a year. And if you know, you're thinking about millions of people that pay that, that's how much money they're going to be losing. It's unacceptable. You know, we have a comment from Brett Lobb. He says, maybe Spectrum should lay off people for Heminger's garbage Walmart connection. Oh, that's funny. Oh, man. So, yeah, we got some things going on with ESPN. Now, Aaron Hernandez, as most of you probably know, he committed suicide in jail recently, last week. And there's that huge thing coming out that he wrote three suicide notes, one to his fiance, one to his daughter, and one to his gay lover in prison, which is some 22-year-old kid. And apparently, I read this note. It was supposedly the note, and it's a bunch of, like, nonsense, really. He's basically talking about how he still has the Patriots back, even though, you know, they're shady as fuck for not having his, and it's like a bunch of winky faces, and he's like, here's your autograph, you weirdo, and has a big winking face with a tongue out. He's got a lot of stuff going on with this note, but it's one of those things where it looks kind of fruity a little bit because of all the winky faces and smiles, and it's like two guns, one chain, or something like that. Yeah, I think it says one chain, two guns. I don't know if you know what that means, but to me that sounds a little fruity. So, you know, my take on that is a lot of people think that possibly the fact that he killed Odin Lloyd was not because of those other double murders, but because of the fact that Odin Lloyd was dating Hernandez's fiance's sister, and Odin Lloyd may have found out about his like other gay lifestyle. And supposedly Hernandez had a boyfriend in high school that he was, you know, giving money to. And, you know, supposedly people are starting to have a theory running out there that Hernandez, you know, he may have let the, you know, cat out of the bag to Lloyd on accident, and he ended up killing Odin Lloyd to kind of save his reputation, his you know, fiance, his lifestyle in general, not be outed and be, you know, put on every media outlet on blast there is. So he might have popped Odin Lloyd for that. So that's an interesting take, you know. I personally think that's more plausible than him just go ahead and, you know, shooting the guy because, you know, he knew about some double murder that he probably didn't even have any idea about. We're going to wait. You're still waiting on my co-host here. We got at 9:15, we're going to have a guest come on, and he's going to be talking some shop with Hemi on the Browns. And that's Joe Ginley. He's the Dogs by Nature editor. He's on the Sports SB Nation editor for Dogs by Nature at the Cleveland Browns fan site. And then at 9:50, we got Chris Gates, the owner of the Minnesota Vikings site, the Daily Nordstrom, which is the SB Nation affiliate. So just for those that didn't hear at the beginning of the show, that's what we got going on there. But as far as that goes, last night I had something crazy happen in my house, actually. By 1 a.m., my son Grayson fell and split his head open, and we had to take him to the ER. He had to get 3 stitches. He's bleeding everywhere. It's crazy. It was a hell of a night. But it got me thinking about all the injuries that that I actually had to go through when I was a kid, and I had some pretty funny injuries. A couple of sports related ones, but I had a couple of ones where I got injured pretty badly. Hemi, are you back?
I'm back. How do I sound?
You sound way better. We're talking about my injury, my injuries. We don't have time for your input on ESPN. We'll get that afterwards because we got to call that guy in 2 minutes. But anyways, one time when I used to be a catcher. When I was all throughout my career in baseball, I played catcher. And this particular time, I happened to not wear a cup, so I tried to shove a bunch of socks down my crotch. Well, I took a curveball in the dirt, and it popped right up and hit me in the nuts. And I didn't quite feel it for a couple seconds until I got back in my position. Then I called time to the ump and fell over on my side, grabbing my balls in front of everybody. And I had to tell him that I didn't have a cup on. I was just wearing socks. I had a bruised nut sack for like 3 weeks. It was pretty interesting.
That sucks, man. I'll throw in mine real quick, and then I'll go call our guest. Mine was very simple. I was bouncing around on the couch as a little kid, and my dad was sleeping on the couch, or at least trying to sleep, because I'm an idiot jumping on him. And I must have just landed on his legs wrong, and then I fell off the couch, and then, bam, head first into the edge of the coffee table and cracked my head open a little bit. So ended up getting some staples, and for the rest of my life, I now have like a little white patch of hair. Whenever I get a haircut, you can see it. So my sister actually thought I was turning gray because I hadn't got my hair cut in like that short in years. And I started freaking out thinking my hair's turning gray, but no, it's always just had that white patch even since I was like 5.
All right.
I'm going to go get Joe Ginley on the line because he is expecting my call. So feel free to continue talking about whatever the hell you feel like talking about, but I'll be back in about a minute.
Yeah, I know what I feel. I'm drinking some Sierra Nevada Summerfest crisp lager right now with no shirt on for all you ladies, letting this cold beer drip down. It's amazing. I was drinking a vanilla Java porter, however you want to say it. It's basically malt beverage brewed with coffee beans. I got to say, I'm not even a coffee drinker, but this beer was actually badass. And I was getting a little tired because I was up all night with my son in the ER. So I was like, I wonder if I can drink this beer, get energy, and feel good. And I tell you what, it took the edge off a little bit, so I'm excited. I liked it. I'm probably going to get a couple more of them. I don't even know the damn brand. It doesn't have one. Oh, yeah, Atwater Brewery. Anybody knows Atwater Brewery? It's born in Detroit. I just drank a Detroit coffee beer. I'm fucking bald, people. I got balls. It's 5% alcohol. It's not that bad. How you doing, Brian?
I'm doing great. We just got a hold of Joe, so let's go ahead and introduce him. He is one of the editors of, in my opinion, the best Cleveland Browns website. Maybe better than clevelandbrowns.com, the actual Cleveland Browns website, but it is Dogs by Nature. It's on SB Nation. They have so much information out there for all things Cleveland Browns related. But Joe Ginley is stopping by, and he's going to tell us a little bit about one of what the Browns' options are this weekend. So, all right. So, Joe, welcome to the At Odds Podcast.
Hey, thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be with you guys.
All right.
Oh, it's a pleasure to have you, Joe. So first things first, is it just that simple that the Browns absolutely have to take Myles Garrett number one, or are they just laying a lot of smoke screens right now with some of this talk about, hey, we might trade down, we might take Mitch Trubisky? Are they just trying to confuse people a little bit?
No, it's definitely Myles Garrett. If you ever watched the movie Draft Day, Myles Garrett, mm-hmm. no matter what. There's no way the Browns take anyone besides Myles Garrett with that top pick. The Browns have, they have kind of showed some smoke there with, what they were saying, hey, Mitch Trubisky is a good player. And it kind of, putting it out there a little bit that, hey, he's a local guy, so we might take him. No, it's definitely all about Myles Garrett. He is, without a doubt, the player who the Browns will select number one overall, period, end of story. You heard today Mike Silver did go on and say that the Browns have known for a couple weeks that Myles Garrett is their guy, and I can confirm that. From what I've heard, Myles Garrett is the man, from all the reports I've heard, from what I've discerned. So there's no way the Browns are going to trade down out of that number one pick.
All right, good. That's what I want to hear. Now, the other big question, did Mitch Trubisky's teammates show up to his birthday party? Oh, it's a draft day reference, too, because I forget.
Oh.
I didn't even get that one, Brian. What the hell?
Yeah. It's a good one. It's like the funniest thing. Because they find out that the guy's teammates didn't show up to his birthday party, and it like starts raising all the doubt on whether they're going to actually take the quarterback. that was a good joke question. Damn it!
Hey, you got to make sure they know.
That was pretty good. I thought you were making a statement. I'm like, geez, when was Mitch Trubisky's birthday? How did I not hear about it? I would have been there.
I do have a question for you. Do you think there's a chance that the Browns would trade up from 12 to get Mitch?
Absolutely. Although I'm not necessarily sure it's Mitch Trubisky. I think the Browns have an interest in another couple quarterbacks. I think Deshaun Kizer is one guy they've looked at. But Trubisky, he's the local hometown guy, but it's going to take a little while to develop Trubisky. I don't think they're quite in love with him. I think it's more possible that the Browns trade up from 12 – maybe up to 10, 9, 8 or so, to get a guy like Malik Hooker, to get a guy who serves a defensive need rather than a quarterback. So I'm not really sold on the fact that the Browns will take Trubisky there, and trade up to get him. I think they're more likely to trade up for a defensive guy, actually. But, it's the Browns, you really never know. But I think the Browns do want to try and trade up from 12.
I agree. I think that me and Brian were talking earlier, Hooker would be an awesome guy to trade up for. And if he's there, I guarantee they'll start picking up the phone and making some calls for that. So, mm-hmm. But go ahead, Brian.
Yeah. Is it possible that the Browns drafted their quarterback last year and they just didn't have an offensive line to protect him? Like, could Cody Kessler be the guy?
Wow. I thought kind of long and hard about that. And, you know what? I've been on some other shows. I have not heard that question yet. I think Cody Kessler could be the guy. I'm not really sure if the Browns will give him a legit shot, but I mean, you know, I'd be interested to hear what you guys think. But in my opinion, Cody Kessler is a guy who's solidly reliable, decent arm. Again, he did get banged up a little bit last year, but Kessler's a pretty solid quarterback. He's not a certainly not an all-star by a stretch, but he's a pretty solid guy. I mean, he's, you know, a nice pocket passer. Isn't too iffy back there, not too much, you know, with the happy feet. He's a pretty solid guy. I mean, but at the same time, he's not the all-star. So he might not get that fair shot.
Yeah, because the main reason I bring it up is, you know, his biggest issue was maybe holding on to the ball a little too long, but now he can even afford to hold on to the ball a little long with them adding Zeitler and Cottrell, Lockin and Betonio. Mm-hmm. If those guys stay healthy, they have four excellent offensive linemen, and then there's a huge competition for the right tackle spot. Like, the Browns offensive line to me is going to be, you know, at least top 10, if not top 5, if everybody stays healthy. So maybe Kessler could have a really good season, because when he had time to throw, he was really good last year.
He definitely was. And, you know, he was a solid player, but like you said, he was the offensive line last year, but they have they really have upgraded, especially with Treader there at center. That center position makes a huge difference. You look at how the Browns did with a good center, in the last couple of years. When they had Mac, when they had the zone blocking scheme, that team was dominant up front. But once Mac got injured and once he had trouble at the center spot there with Irving not being able to fill in well, that's when you started to have some trouble. So with Treader there, I feel a lot more comfortable with this offensive line. That's going to be a big key for the Browns.
And as far as Kessler goes, the QB position is like the position that interests me the most. That's what I'm most familiar with. And I like Kessler. I actually think Kessler is going to be a solid quarterback in this NFL if he can get the time to develop and not be thrust in a situation like he was last year for too long. Yeah. If this line can stay healthy and solid, I think Kessler can build big time and maybe have a really big year three. That's my personal opinion.
Main circuit, correct. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Cody Kessler, you know, he can be that guy. I mean, like you said, he's a solid quarterback. He is well-versed in the system after being there for a year. And like you said, he showed that pocket presence. He has that ability and a solidly strong arm. I mean, it's not like, he's weak back there in the pocket or he's afraid. I mean, you saw him. Even with that weak offensive line, he wasn't afraid to stand in there. And that's the thing. That's really the differentiating thing for me is, you know, you can be a great quarterback behind a great offensive line, but the true test of a quarterback, in my opinion, is how you can do behind an iffy offensive line. Are you afraid to hold on to the ball? Because if I'm Cody Kessler last year, I'm running for my life.
Yeah.
Again, in the AFC North, I mean, you know, I do not have the cojones to sit back there, but you saw Cody Kessler do it. And, you know, even against the Steelers and teams like that, he stood back there and took those hits. So, you know, he does have, you know, he has that, that tangible to stand back there and he has that courage.
I like his release. He's got a nice quick release. He may hold the ball. He holds onto the ball long last year a little bit, but when he actually went to throw, he had a quick release to him. And, you know, if they worked on that on the offseason, getting the ball out faster, that quick release is going to be big time for him. He doesn't have a Kyle Bowler-esque, you know, throwing 80 yards on his knee arm, but, you know, he's not Chad Pennington either. You know, he's a nice middle-of-the-pack arm strength guy, pocket presence, quick release. I think he can be something, and the Browns probably know that, and I don't think that they're going to rush a quarterback.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And like you said, and I apologize there for my phone acting up, but, the other thing that's going to be kind of interesting to see how it plays out is the addition of Brock Osweiler and how he plays into that, because if Sashi Brown's a genius, he will try and wait until, you know, the later rounds or even after the draft to see if any teams are left unfulfilled at quarterback and maybe try and trade Osweiler away to a desperate team. Say maybe like the Jets. You know, say the Jets aren't able to find a quarterback, or maybe, you know, maybe the Niners, in some strange twist of fate, maybe decide to trade down, or maybe they get Jonathan Allen instead of Trubisky and aren't able to trade back up. And John Lynch panics and says, oh, we need Brock Osweiler. If Sashi Brown's a genius, he'll be able to switch and trade Osweiler for a pick. But if he's not able to, which is a significant possibility, then the Browns might have an interesting situation there between Osweiler and Kessler, and even if they draft a new quarterback. But I think the key for the Browns, though, is not, you know, it's like you guys said, knowing you have Kessler, who's a solid, you know, bridge quarterback, and not panicking and taking, you know, a third-tier quarterback, you know, and having to trade up for him, too. I think that's really the key for the Browns in this draft. No matter what you do, you need to build the defense and not give up too much for that quarterback.
I agree.
Yeah, that's something I definitely feel the Browns need to address, because they had a great free agency, but pretty much everything they went after in free agency was offense. So I think this should be a hugely defensively focused draft. And, man, I wouldn't be mad if they spent all three of their first picks on defensive players. A lot of people are bringing up with the Browns' first pick in the second round, Budda Baker. Do you think that that's a guy that could drop that far? And what do you think the way he would match up with the Browns system?
Baker would be perfect for the Browns. This is Baker is a guy who played in a pretty nice defensive system in college. He could fit in very well with what the Browns are trying to do on defense. Aggressive safety, a very solid player, decent in coverage. He's a guy who could fit in very well with the Browns. My fear, though, however, is that the Steelers are going to get him, and Baker will be a player like Polamalu, you know, who haunts the Browns forever. So,
yeah.
I would love to see him in Browns uniform. He is exactly what the Browns need there, because the safety position was really weak for the Browns last year. You didn't have that deep ball hawking safety that you really need in the AFC North, against quarterbacks like Ben Roethlisberger or whatnot, who can burn you deep after opening up, underneath time and time again. So Baker would look great in a Browns uniform. He would be the perfect pick at 33, but you do kind of risk, another team grabbing him, if he doesn't fall that far. But besides Baker, another name to watch for me is Tre'Davious White out of LSU. Mm-hmm. If he does fall to 33, he would be an amazing cornerback for the Browns to have. I mean, White did so well at LSU, started as a freshman, less than five games in, had a lot of experience there with the Tigers. He is a guy who could really light up the Browns, because if we're being honest, Joe Hayden's almost done with his career. He was a great, great player in a Browns uniform, but it's almost time for his career to be done. So the Browns really, really need a cornerback, and I think White would be a great solution for him.
Oh, I agree. Speaking of LSU, what if Hooker's already taken at like a five? Could you see the Browns, if they had the opportunity, trading up and taking Jamal Adams, that safety out of LSU? He's one of my favorite players in the draft. And I think if he drops to like 8-9 range, I think it'd be irresponsible for the Browns not to at least entertain the idea of getting him.
Exactly. Although, he could fall to 12 as well if the Browns are lucky. But, if he's around, if he's around there, I think you definitely take you might take a chance on him and see if you can get a good deal. If you can surrender maybe a third or fourth round pick to trade up, if you don't have to give up a second, because if the Browns have to give up a second to get back into the top 12, or I should say into the top 8 to get Adams, then you maybe get a little hesitant. But if you can give up a third or a fourth, then I definitely entertain the idea, because as you said, Adams is a really, really good player, out of LSU. They have a great reputation of developing defensive backs.
I think that he could end up being one of the best players in this entire draft, if not the best player in the entire draft. I'm really high on Jamal Adams, so time will tell, but he's one of my favorite players in the draft.
Mm-hmm. And I got a couple more questions for you, and then we'll let you go. I appreciate you being so generous with your time, Joe.
Of course.
Over-under on Browns trades, 2.5
for the NFL. I'll go over.
Ooh,
I'll go
I
over.
Like it.
Yeah, I'm going to say 3. I think the Browns trade back up into the top, if not the top 8. I think you see a trade. I think the Browns trade down from that 33 pick in the second, on the second day. I think they try and find a team who's really desperate for a particular player there on day 2, and they trade down, at the beginning of the day. And I think you see a day 3 trade, where you have a few, you have a 6 round pick traded. Where the Browns get an additional 6th or a 7th, maybe next year. I think 3 in this draft for the Browns.
I like it. And the rumors are flying. is it possible that Josh Gordon plays for the Browns this year? Is this the finally the year?
I would love to see that, but I can't. You know, honestly, I think Gordon has burned too many bridges. He's had too many chances, and you know, let's be honest. Even if he were to be able to come back, you know, let's just say, you know, Roger Goodell says, okay, Josh, we're gonna give you one last chance. You stay off the wacky tobacco, and everything is fine. And you know, and Gordon is able to come back sometime in 2017. I'm not sure if he's going to be back to full form right away because, again, this is a guy who hasn't played in a while. You know, he hasn't been on an NFL field in some time. And you don't want to say he'd be too rusty because you really can't lose speed that quickly. But at the same time, I think the Browns are just kind of sick of him. I think, you know, it would be very, very, you know, very improbable, at least in my eyes, that he suits up in the Browns uniform this year. Because Hugh Jackson, I just don't think he's gonna let Asashi Brown, have him stay in a Browns uniform. I just, with all the chances that that Josh Gordon is allowed to sink down the tubes, I just don't think it's possible at this point.
Yeah, I completely understand.
Like you just don't want. It's kind of like you put all that time and effort into this person. You don't want to just release them and then they go tear shit up in like Jacksonville, you know, somewhere else.
I mean, so. I mean, you know, I think maybe you give him a chance, but at the same time, it's just, I mean, he's messed up so many before that, you know, at some point you just got to say, okay, you're talented, but, you know, hey, it's time to go. So,
right. I don't
know. We'll see.
All right, man. Well, I really appreciate you joining us. I think my co-host Brian's having some issues with his mic. So we appreciate you coming on.
Sounds good. I'm sorry you're breaking up on me a little bit here. I think I might be losing you, but if you can still hear me, thank you guys again. I really do appreciate it. That was an awesome show, and yeah, you guys are great. Thank you so much.
Awesome.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
So, all right. Thank you.
Yep. Bye.
All right.
You better, Brian.
That was Joe Ginley. It might actually be you, Sharples, because I'm hearing you break up, and I heard him fine. Yeah, I know last time it was me.
No, no, we were having connection issues there. It's not a big deal.
I can't hear you very well at all, though. Yeah. I'm going to double check. We have somebody that's called in. It might be our next guest coming in early. So give me 1 second. I'll check them out in the screening room. And okay. Just and Brett says it is Sharples. Uh-oh. All right. Well, you can – and Phil says definitely Sharples. Okay. Well, I'm going to try to make this quick when I check in with our guest here. So 1 second.
Can you guys hear me better now?
No. Still super choppy, Brandon. And said Brett Lobb says you sound like dog shit. And well, Phil McKee says negative. So here's what I think we're going to try to do, Brandon. Okay. Maybe you can disconnect and reconnect. And while you're doing that, could you send me your questions on Facebook? And we can talk to our guest, and if worst case scenario, I'll ask your questions for you. I hope that's a yes. So, all right. Anyway, without further ado, let's bring in our second guest for tonight's show. He is the operator of Daily Norseman, to me, one of the best Minnesota Vikings websites on the planet. They are SB Nation's Minnesota Vikings site. Chris Gates, welcome to the At Odds podcast, Chris.
I am happy to be here. How's it going this evening, other than the technical issues y'all seem to be having?
Yeah, it's going great, except for the technical issues. It has not happened on an episode before, but yeah, no, you sound great. I think I sound great. You know what? Maybe this is the best thing that could have happened. So anyway, let's get talking with the Vikings. There's obviously the number one thing is they don't have a first round draft pick. So first thing I'll start with is, do you think that they try to make a play to get into the first round? Because I know that that's something that Brandon wanted to check with you about. And how would they do it?
I honestly don't think that they do. I think it would take way too much. I mean, they're sitting at 48, and even to get themselves into the low 20s or somewhere in that range, they'd probably have to give up their second and both of the thirds that they currently have. And with the positions of need that the Vikings are looking at, the sweet spot for that those positions, whether you're looking at running back or interior offensive line or whatever, are going to be in that second, third, and fourth round. And so I don't think it's worth giving up a shot to potentially get three players that could contribute just to try to take a stab at one guy earlier on in the draft. And then if you do that, you're out of the game until day three. So, no, I don't think it's worth it for the Vikings to do that. And I think the cost would be too prohibitive for them to try to pull that kind of thing off.
Oh, excellent answer. And we got Brandon back. We're going to see if he's choppy. So, Brandon, how you sounding?
Can you hear me?
Yes. All right.
Okay.
No
choppiness. Wow, that's way better.
So much better.
Oh, God, thank you.
All right. Well, I asked your question about trading into the first round. Chris thinks that it would be too costly to move up that far, even if it was into the late into the first round. So we got that one out of the way, and I know you got the rest of your prepared questions, so I'll let you take it away from here.
All right. All right, Chris, how you doing?
I'm doing all right, Brandon. How
all
about
right.
yourself?
I am getting over these technical difficulties here, but I'm excited to have you on the show. Yep. So for me, I think the Vikings need to look at defensive tackle big time in this draft. It's a lot deeper at defensive tackle than it is the offensive line, even though I do still think they need some guard help and tackle. I mean, they need line help, period, even though they just got Reef. But do you think that what's your take on the defensive tackle position this draft? And is that what you think is the biggest need right now?
I would still probably put guard as a slightly bigger need. They did address the tackle positions in free agency with Reef and Remmers. And Zimmer has said they basically have four of the five starting spots on the line figured out. And, yeah, I think if you can get your hands on a guy at number 48, like a Dan Feeney or a Pat Elflein or someone along those lines, that would be the optimal play at 48. But if neither of those guys are there and you can get a guy, I think the name that people seem to think is going to be there is Malik McDowell because of his because of the perception that basically he shut it down quite a bit last season at Michigan State. And, he's a first round guy that might be available at that spot. And if he's on the board and some of the top guards are still there as well, it's going to be an interesting decision for the Vikings. But yeah, if a guy of McDowell's caliber is there in round two, then sure, go ahead and pull the trigger on him. If he's not, then, shore up your offensive line and look for the defensive tackles later on, I think.
And I actually had him as somebody I wanted to talk to you about, McDowell, just for the fact that he has a lot of me-first characteristics that a lot of people had issues with. I know he had some problems with some teammates and coaches at Michigan State. So I thought it was a good possibility that he could be a late first, early second-round pick. So just based on that, but he could be a top 10 talent, honestly. So, I mean,
he certainly could be it, especially if Mike Zimmer and Andre Patterson can get their hands on him. I mean, we've seen what they've done with Danielle Hunter over his first 2 years in the league. And, McDowell could plug into that tackle spot next to Linval Joseph and provide a lot of the same thing if they can just get him to, put forth the constant effort all the time and combat some of those issues that he had at Michigan State last year.
What about cornerback? I know that right now we're kind of okay, but I'm looking down the future after this coming season. We're going to be losing some people that I don't think will be around anymore. So do you think that we'll draft a corner maybe like third, fourth round?
I think a corner in the mid rounds is definitely something they could look at. I mean, you never know if this is going to be the season where Terrence Newman wakes up one morning and remembers that he's 39 years old and whatnot. The depth behind Xavier Rhodes is a little scary. I mean, Trey Waynes has gotten better, but he's still probably not quite to where they want him to be. Mackenzie Alexander was kind of a disaster last season, and they're kind of hoping that he can take a step forward as well. But, it's the National Football League, and with the way the game has evolved and things are done today, you probably can't have too much cornerback depth. So I would expect them to take a corner somewhere in the mid rounds, I think.
Yeah, and I like Deion Dawkins, that guard from Temple. He's got a lot of games under his belt, and he's been going through the process. A lot of people like him, so I think that'd be a good fit for the Vikings as well. Is that somebody you were looking into?
I think he would be a solid pick. I think he's probably someone you could get with that that first third round selection. But yeah, I mean, my personal favorite this whole time has been Elflein, simply because he has the experience. He started at guard for 2 years for Ohio State, and then he moved over to center. We don't know if it was Joe Berger's last year or not, and if it is, then Elflein could start at guard this year, and then after Berger moves on, he could move over to the center spot and, you know, just give the Vikings that that little bit extra of flexibility, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think we're on the same page because I had a question on here about whether you thought we needed to draft a center this year. So I guess we're on the same page with that. What do you think? I read a couple of things that Vikings are entertaining the idea of possibly Joe Mixon, since we're, you know, kind of looking at maybe getting running back this draft. What do you think about that?
Just from a personal standpoint, I don't know if I want anything to do with Joe Mixon. I mean, I know we've had the issues in the past with players and whatnot, but you know, the Vikings, just like every other team, basically have to weigh whether or not taking someone like Joe Mixon, whether his talent on the field is going to be worth the PR hit they're going to take, because whoever drafts Joe Mixon is going to have a PR disaster on their hands for at least the first few weeks. But, you know, if they look at him and Mike Zimmer has apparently sat down with him and had a talk with the kid, and, you know, if he thinks that Mixon's past his issues and whatnot, then, you know, there's the chance they could spend a pick on him. Personally, I would wait and, you know, get one of the other running backs kind of in the later rounds, maybe third or fourth round range, and, you know, not have to deal with the PR hit, because I don't know if the drop-off from Mixon to guys like Kareem Hunt and Wayne Gallman is really that huge.
No, so, it's not.
No, it's not. And, yeah, that's why I think I would let Mixon be someone else's problem and address the running back situation a little later on.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, that guy's a big-time talent. There's no question about that, but it's just not worth the PR move. And, you know, we just got that new stadium, you know, where everything's going, seems to be going in a decent direction for the Vikings. We don't need that. But as far as what about a QB situation? What do you think about the QB situation in Minnesota? Do you think we'll be drafting a QB in the late rounds, kind of a little project? Do you like Bradford?
I do like Sam Bradford. I mean, I know everyone's angry that the Vikings don't have a first round pick this year and all that. And believe me, it's been boring for us too, because it leaves us with less to talk about.
Yeah.
I think the biggest problem that a lot of people have with Sam Bradford right now is the fact that he's not Teddy Bridgewater, because everyone just loved Teddy to death and still does. And, you know, we're keeping our fingers crossed he's going to come back okay. But I mean, if Bradford's not our quarterback right now, sure, we have the first round pick, but we're probably picking at like number 5 or number 6. And there is no quarterback in this draft that I think is on Bradford's level, certainly right now. So it's nice to have Bradford around. As far as drafting a quarterback later on, I've been advocating that they take someone in the later rounds to at least push Taylor Heinicke to be the number 3 guy that could potentially develop into something, you know, more down the track, because like we've said, this is the last year of Bradford's contract. They just made there's the rumor going around that they're not picking up Bridgewater's fifth year option. And there's a whole other mess behind that. And behind those two guys, all you have is Taylor Heinicke. And, you know, that guy hasn't taken a snap since the 2015 preseason, so we have no idea what we have in that guy right now.
Yeah, so he came from Old Dominion. He came from a small school. You know, you don't really know what you're getting from him to begin with, and the fact he hasn't taken too many snaps. So, I've never been a Teddy Bridgewater fan, to be quite honest with you. It's nothing personal. I'm sure he's a great guy, but I love the quarterback position, and I was never sold on him. I was huge Derek Carr fan, huge Derek Carr. When we traded up to get Teddy, I actually thought we were getting Carr, and I was super pumped. I'm in front of the TV about 6 inches away thinking I'm getting Carr, and we just get Bridgewater, and I just kind of had a chip on my shoulder about Teddy ever since that day. So I'm not big on him. So I like Brad. I think he's got an awesome quick release. He's got all the tools to be a decent quarterback in this league, something that we've had in a while. If we can get that line, get, you know, like you said, if we can get a guard, get a, you know, maybe some depth at the tackle position. I still think you need a little bit depth at the tackle position. I don't like Reef very much. I don't know what you think of him, but I don't think he's going to be there, you know, more than a couple seasons for us. I'd like to get more of a career guy there, like a Joe Thomas type caliber guy down maybe next draft or something. But as far as Bradford goes, I like him. I don't think that people are giving him a fair shake, because especially he started off so well until our line just crumbled, and that's when he crumbled. So you gotta correlate that together. So I would like to draft a quarterback late. I was thinking if that Nate Peterson out of Pitt is available, you know, fourth round ish, fifth round, maybe even reach for him a little bit, because I'm hearing big time praises out of him.
Yeah. Now Peterman would be nice, but I think you're probably gonna have to get him in the third round, maybe, or the fourth round or so, if you want to get your hands on him.
Yeah.
The name that I've been kind of looking at is Joshua Dobbs out of Tennessee. I think he might be available a little bit later on in the process. And he seems like he's the kind of guy that has all the ability and the intangibles where he could start out as the number three guy and then eventually develop into to something significantly more. But yeah, I think this team needs to take a quarterback, or at least get or go after one really, really hard and undrafted free agency that can push Heinicke for that third spot.
Yeah, and I think there's a couple guys out there that we can get. Is there any particular players that you've heard the Vikings favoring in this draft process?
Not personally. I mean, I've heard all the stuff about how they talked to Joe Mixon and they ran the drills at the Oklahoma Pro Day for him, and Zimmer talked to him afterwards. But, you know, other than that, the news out of Winter Park has been a little sparse, which, you know, you'd expect with the team not having a first round pick and a lot of the big names as a result of that not necessarily being connected to Minnesota. But yeah, I haven't heard a whole lot of, you know, individual players that have been connected to the Vikings either way, really.
Yeah, the only reason you even hear about Joe Mixon is because it's such a polarizing figure right now. But you know, if you search, you know, anything about the Vikings draft process right now, you don't really come up with a whole lot other than what, you know, people think their needs are. But
no.
You know, as far as, do you have any like lesser known people up like that are on your radar that you'd like Vikings to take a look at, maybe somebody that outside the box?
Since
you guys don't have a whole lot to talk about, maybe you're figuring maybe you'd start delving into some people.
No, I mean, my personal favorite at the running back spot, if they're going to grab someone in the middle rounds, is Kareem Hunt. I mean, I just think he has the all-around game to be a contributor right away. He doesn't put the ball on the ground, which is always nice. And so, yeah, he's kind of been the guy I've been, you know, pushing forth the running back spot. As far as anyone else, not really, I don't think. I mean, I don't have any personal favorites. I mean, you know, we used to do the mock draft database every year, and we had a first round pick, and so you get to know who some of the bigger names are. But, you know, without a first round pick, I mean, I haven't really done any super deep dives into, you know, off the radar or small school type of guys to really get a feel for that, unfortunately. So, you know, this whole draft process to me is going to be pretty interesting, because, you know, even from the number one pick all the way down with most of these teams, nobody really seems to have a beat on who anybody's going to draft tomorrow.
No,
pick is still up for grabs, which is ridiculous. But, yeah.
This is definitely a rare year where anything's possible. I like Kareem Hunt. We're actually from Toledo area, so I'm very familiar with Kareem Hunt. He's a fan favorite up here. People really love him. So, yeah, I think that's a good pick. I actually read an article that he was the best fit for the Vikings in the mid rounds. But Brian, you had a comment in chat that somebody wants to ask?
Yeah. Because the Vikings don't have the first rounder, is it possible that maybe they could take advantage of somebody that maybe got a red flag, like a Jabril Peppers, a Gerrion Conley? If somehow they dropped completely out of the first round, what would you think about them using their second round pick on one of those guys?
Conley's situation is kind of, you know, it's something you probably don't want to touch quite yet, mm-hmm. because, you know, that whole thing really hasn't, I mean, he's looking at serious, you know, criminal charges at this point. As far as Peppers, I don't want to say all he did, but, you know, comparatively, all he did was have a bad sample at the combine. And, you know, there's excuses for what happened, whatever. And, you know, eventually what happened is going to come out. But, you know, if you look at those two guys, I don't think Peppers is anywhere in near as severe a situation as someone like Conley might be, just based on, you know, what the potential is for repercussions from what they've done. But, you know, I mean, we looked at guys like, I mean, McDowell really doesn't have red flags, you know, off the field. He's just looking at, like, you know, personal, you know, shutting it down kind of stuff. We talked about Joe Mixon, guys like that. And again, you have to, each team is going to do their own sort of risk reward. You know, what are they willing to accept? What are they willing to not accept? And, you know, Mixon, with all the stuff that has gone on with the Vikings recently, I don't see him as being a guy that they would take. I mean, apparently he's still on their draft board, but, you know, he just doesn't strike me as the kind of guy that the Vikings are going to jump on given the opportunity.
No, I agree. I like McDowell pick. I mean, it's one of those things where maybe he just gets the right mentoring from our team. And then that can change that attitude problem completely around, because as far as athleticism and ability, he's a freak athlete. He's big. And he'd be a hell of a pick if you can snag him in the second round. That'd be a steal. It's kind of like when we Moss. Kind of like when we got Moss at 21.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a steal of a steal right there. That guy should have been top three pick. But,
oh, yeah.
You know, he's character good. Issues. Yeah. But what do you think of Peterson leaving? You know, does that bother you or?
Not really. I mean, yeah, the league has evolved, and, you know, Adrian Peterson really hasn't evolved with it. I mean, we've gone over, you know, what his abilities are. He still doesn't pass block well. He doesn't run out of the shotgun well. He's never been a huge factor in the pass game, except for the 1 year that Favre was quarterbacking. And in order to, you know, be a contributing running back in the National Football League today, you need to have all those abilities. And after 10 years in the league, Adrian Peterson still doesn't have those things, and he's not likely to just pick them up and develop them now or anything like that.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
I mean, he's obviously the best running back in Vikings history and one of the best running backs in the history of the sport. But, you know, it was time for both parties to move on, I think, for the Vikings so that their offense could evolve. And for Peterson, you know, he was never going to see the amount of money that was in his contract for this year, and I'm pretty sure he knew that. And so, yeah, he was not coming back to Minnesota, so it was time for him to move on as well.
Yeah, I was actually a big advocate for when we were having quarterback issues, when we had Ponder, and I couldn't tell you how disappointed I was we drafted Ponder that high, but I was a big advocate for trading Adrian Peterson. It was actually the season going into when he got suspended for the whole child abuse thing. He was basically at the peak of his career, going number one in fantasy drafts. Everybody's, you know, viable MVP candidate. I wanted to trade him for either a quarterback or a high draft pick to get a quarterback. And it seemed to be, if we in hindsight, if we could have got something more for Adrian Peterson back then, I think we should have. Because I thought back then, I think we were a quarterback away from really making a deep run in the playoffs. And I think that the quarterback position is more valuable than Adrian Peterson. So I think in hindsight, I think we should have traded him at, you know, back in the day when we were having trouble getting a quarterback. There were talks about it, but nobody really took it too seriously because it's Adrian Peterson. But those running backs, when they're starting to approach 30, you know, you got to get the value you can out of them, especially when you have no quarterback.
I can understand that, but along with that, because of the devaluing of the running back position in today's National Football League, if you're trying to deal a 30-year-old running back, I mean, yeah, he was, you know, not 2014, but 2015, he won a rushing title and whatnot.
Yeah.
But you know, even if you were going to trade him at that point, he's 31 years old. He's got all the mileage. He's got, you know, whatever else has happened. His value, just because of the nature of his position and what the running back position has done in the National Football League over the past few years, you're you're not going to be able to find the value for an elite running back that you might be able to find for an elite player at other positions, even if those elite players at other positions are of the same age as Peterson is, just because, you know, running backs don't have the same value as a lot of other positions on the field. And that's just the nature of the league.
Yeah. We're talking cornerbacks, quarterbacks. They all hold their value a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
But, all right, Chris, I really appreciate you being on. That's all we have for you tonight. Like I said, maybe we can get you back on after the draft and see your take on what the Vikings did, and we'll go from there. But we really appreciate you coming on the show today, okay?
All right. Well, thank you for having me, folks. I enjoyed it.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Yeah, you can check out Chris's stuff on dailynorseman.com. Great Minnesota Vikings website. Really appreciated him stopping by and spreading some knowledge on the upcoming Vikings draft. That was a lot, especially considering they don't have a first-round pick. So I think you guys did a really good job.
Oh, yeah. I'm glad that he came on the show. It's good to have somebody that really knows what they're talking about, you know, especially about the team that I really love. My favorite Vikings of all time will be Moss, though. Who's your all-time favorite?
Straight cash, homie.
Oh man, hey, since you weren't on the mic, what was your take on the whole gay lover for Aaron Hernandez?
Oh, did you already talk about that a little bit?
I just brought it up a little bit. You know, I had a little bit filler time while you were fixing your mic,
mm-hmm.
but you had my guest when I was fixing mine, so it was a little bit different. But yeah, I talked about it a little bit. I talked about ESPN and everything. So,
mm-hmm.
You want to give your take now?
Yeah, I mean, it was nuts. I mean, if you brought the gist of it, but man, the fact to me, it almost makes Hernandez more sympathetic. If you think about it, I mean, when it was just out murdering people because they, you know, offended him, he's just a giant asshole. And now, you know, he's taking care of these other people. He's leaving suicide notes for his gay lovers. He's creating bank accounts with a shit ton of money for gay lovers. Like, he's actually going out of his way to try to do these things to help these people. I mean, it's crazy. Like, and maybe he murdered the dude because the guy was going to out him. So I don't know. It was a lot easier to hate on the dude just because I thought he was an asshole. I mean, he still is an asshole. But like, maybe, you know, there's some shades of gray in there now.
Yeah, so, you still can't throw a bullet between somebody's eyes because he's going to tell everybody you get fucked by guys.
Oh, I know. And,
especially in this day and age where you're like, openly gay people doing everything and nobody gives a shit. You're almost more protected.
Yeah, I mean, people would have celebrated him in the NFL. Yeah. Like, the gay community would have been extremely happy. I mean, then they would have been really sad when they find out he's a murderer.
But that dude was too thuggish, man. He had that hardcore mentality. You know, everybody looked at him and was like, he wanted to have that gangster mentality. Can't be a G when you're fucking on your knees, you know what I mean? So, he had to do what he had to do. But what do you think about this ESPN situation?
Okay, I'll throw in my 2 cents on that. Honestly, I think it all started... It's not just because ESPN started slanting left, and they started doing that. But it all started when they started becoming like the TMZ of sports instead of just covering sports. You know, 90% of people just want to see their freaking highlights. They want to see the scores. They want to see what happened in the games. I don't give a flying fuck about who's mad at who, all the little drama behind the scenes, who's cheating on their wife. Like, it all started like maybe 2004, 2005, when Alex Rodriguez was on the Yankees and he got photographed out with another woman. And the front page article was like, Stray Rod.
And they really fucking hammered Tiger Woods too, remember?
Yeah. Well, all that shit. And I don't care. Who cares if they cheat on their wives? I want to see them hit balls. I want to see them slam dunk. I want to see them catch touchdowns. Like you mentioned it, sports is our escape. That's, you know, we live a lot of these people are out there working shitty jobs that they hate. You know, they're just beaten down day after day after day. They got to take care of, like, you know, four kids. They got people screaming and all kinds of shit all day long. And then it's finally time to go watch sports. You know, it's time to just everybody shut up. It's time for me to go watch the game. It's time for me to watch ESPN or whatever. And then they're on there talking about Tiger Woods cheating on his wife instead of, you know, giving you the damn highlights that you want to see. So yeah. I think that was a huge part of it too, is most people, yeah, it spikes ratings, but you know what? What people really care about is the results and the highlights. I want to see home runs. I want to see the Gold Glove plays. I want to see guys catching, stealing home runs back. I want to see all that stuff. I don't care. I don't care what political opinion some pitcher has, you know?
Yeah. A lot of those guys get their opinions coursed out of them too. Like they're, you know, it's not like a lot of those guys don't even really care if you care about their opinions or not, but these fucking ESPN guys in particular, they try to coerce all this shit out of people all the time. And then they blast it like, you know, Curt Schilling is basically a fucking Nazi. You know what I mean? Well, you coerced his conservative views out of him. You know what I mean? Like, you did all the shit. He's not out there parading around trying to throw shit in people's faces. And you want to destroy his career over it.
Yeah, same thing with Trevor Bauer. I mean, the dude voted for Trump because he wanted lower tax rate because he's a millionaire. Of course he's going to vote for Trump. And then people just shitting on him and just constantly going after him on Twitter. And, yeah, he's going to say some stupid things. The dude's not a political savant. Let him alone. Let him throw baseballs. He got a win today. Good for him.
Did he get a win today?
Yeah. He went 6 innings, gave up 4 runs, like 9 strikeouts. I mean, he did fine. Yeah. That's a good enough start for me. Got me a win on my fantasy baseball team.
Hey, real quick, man. What do you think of Thames from Milwaukee? He just hit his 11th home run yesterday.
Jesus Christ. That dude has come out of nowhere. Like, nobody wanted anything to do with him his first run in the major leagues. Like, he barely got any playing time. He hit okay. And he just kept getting traded and released and sent back to AAA. And he just said, fuck this shit. And he went over to Korea and wins, like, every award that they've ever given out. He won their gold gloves. He won their MVPs. He set, like, home run records. I mean, the dude just tore shit up for, like, 3 years. And then
– yeah.
And then I guess that just the confidence level was there, and Milwaukee's like, all right, we got to give this guy a chance. And they didn't just give him like an invite. They gave him a 3-year deal, and he is paying them off insanely. I mean, that's nuts. It's nuts. And it came out of nowhere. Because, I mean, this guy was a nobody his first run in baseball.
Today he went 1-for-3 with 2 runs and 2 walks, and he's still batting .370. He's got 11 home runs. I mean, the guy's – He's fucking awesome. You know what they're doing? They tested him once in spring training, and they've tested him 2 times since the season started. It's only the first month of the season. They keep testing for juice, and here's what he said in the interview, not word for word, but he's like, they can test me every motherfucking day pretty much. He's like, I'll be there every day pissing for these people. He goes, I'm not juicing. You know, he worked out. His slugging percentage is .904.
Yeah. I mean,
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The only thing he's juicing is he's juicing baseballs out of the park.
Yeah, dude. I'm pretty impressed with that guy, man. Big time.
I wish I'd picked him up in my league. Damn.
Who really would have thought of that, you know?
I know.
Harper's batting .417 right now.
Yeah.
He's 2-for-2 tonight.
I wish I'd got Harper too.
I told you, man. He's going to win the MVP. I love Harper.
Although Thames might take it. That's right.
Yeah, I know. You never know.
I mean, I know it's extremely small sample size. We're not even a full month into the season, but I hope he can keep it up all year.
The only other people that hit 11 home runs at this point in time was Bonds, and I think A-Rod did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the major league record is 14 in the month of April. So he's got a couple more days to take care of that. So we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, and there was one other question from Brett during the NFL draft segment, and I didn't feel it was, like, directed at a specific team, so I figured we just let it. I'd read it now. Says, why does it always seem like a lot of these crazy stories come out about some of these players just the day before the draft? Like last year with Laremy Tunsil, Robert Nkemdike. You know, what do you
know
think
why?
Is going on there? Do you have like a conspiracy theory? Yeah, go ahead.
No, I don't have a conspiracy theory. It's just, it's human nature, man. This is what I was talking about in one of my rants in one of the earlier episodes we had where people just fucking hate success, man. And you'll always get those haters. And you get certain people that don't want people to succeed. So that's one thing. Kind of like Tunsil last year, stepdad just had this bitterness for him and just wanted to fuck him over. And you see that all the time. People will do anything to fuck people over because the average person doesn't enjoy other success. And then you get women. Some women are probably assaulted by these guys. So I'm not going to be completely crazy sexist here and be like, every woman that's ever said she's a sexually assaulted is a lying sack of shit. No, that's not even close to true. Most of them are. But you also have certain women that try to get paydays and they put themselves in certain positions to be able to almost blackmail people and get a payday. Because some women just don't have souls, brother. Mm-hmm. That's the way it is.
Yep,
but I don't know what's going on with I don't know what's going on with Gilmore because it's a little bit odd timing here because he hasn't even been paid yet. You know what I mean? And if a girl is going to try and play those games, she'd probably more than likely wait until he's like getting drafted top 10, getting his, you know, paychecks, and then she'll be like, a week before the draft, he raped me, blah, blah, blah. And then she can settle out of court for a nice lump sum of money. But right now, she already told on him. He's probably not even going to get drafted. I don't think he's getting drafted, period. I think he's going undrafted. And so he's going to have a small little paycheck if he gets picked up as a free agent. He may not now. So she's not going to get shit from him.
Yeah.
So that means that it might
be
true.
Yeah, Brett says they should be able to sue for defamation of character.
I think they should. I think any woman that gets proven that she falsely accused a man of rape, I think she should be able to get a certain percentage of his sentence if he was guilty. So if not the whole thing, so say he was going to get 10 years for rape, she should get at least 5 years, like automatic sentence of 5 years, maybe even longer. Just because, think about this. Say you're accused of rape and you 100% didn't do it. Just the fact that you were accused, it tarnishes you forever. And
yeah.
Even
the Duke lacrosse team, all the shit that went down with that Rolling Stone story with the fraternity in, I think it was Virginia.
Yeah. Yeah, it just tarnishes you forever. Like, because people are always going to wonder in the back of their head, well, what if he really is a rapist? Do I want him around me and my friends? Or do I want him around my daughter? Do I want him around my kids? Like, it's just a black eye to your entire life, even if you didn't do it. Even if she was proven, because you know what? Some people don't actually get the full story. Even when the full story ends up with you being exonerated, they'll just be like, hey, remember when he was accused of rape? And somebody that never heard the story could be like, really? I don't want anywhere near that fucking guy. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's just terrible.
Mm-hmm. So, completely with you.
Yeah. So that's my take on that, man. Brett.
Mm-hmm. So I think that's about all the main stuff we wanted to cover on today's show. So I think it might be time for the Sharples Rant of the Week, baby.
Oh. Ah! All right, motherfuckers. All right, man. So basically this week I have a little segment for my rant. It's called You Might Be a Pussy. And it's basically I've just been noticing things out in public that it's just, I feel like men, this is strictly towards men. This is not towards women. This is towards men. Pussifying the man. This is my list of you might be a pussy. All right. And this is things I've seen. All right. If you order a veggie sub in front of me at fucking Subway, you might be a pussy. If you order a veggie fucking burrito in front of me at Chipotle, you might be a pussy. If you wear those whack ass strapped up hiker sandals, you might be a pussy. If you grow a hipster beard to hide the fact that you look like fucking Pee Wee Herman, you might be a pussy. If you advocate against racism but you walk across the street when you come up on a couple of black guys, you might be a pussy. If you shop for your jeans in the chick department because you like the way it fits your ass or your no-nuts ball sack, you might be a pussy. You know, if you blame every teacher to why your kid is a dumb fuck, you're probably a pussy. Yeah. If you jack off to a picture of your wife or your girlfriend, you're sick and you're probably a pussy. If you skip out on tuna because you're afraid of eating a little bit of dolphin, you're probably a pussy. If you don't like Trailer Park Boys, you're definitely a pussy, Brett. If you don't like dogs and identify as a cat person, you might be a pussy. If you voted for Hillary fucking Clinton, you're definitely a pussy. If you wince in pain from the kick of a shotgun, you might be a pussy. If you drive a convertible with a base price of anything less than $80,000, you might be a pussy. If you drive a four-cylinder sports car with EcoBoost, you might be a pussy. If you borrow your girlfriend's your wife's eyeliner, moisturizer, any of that shit, you might be a pussy. If you wear one of those charcoal facial masks for any other reason other than trying to score points with a chick to get some pussy, you yourself are probably a pussy. If you wear non-prescription glasses to look cool, you might be a pussy. If you take your wife's last name or you hyphenate that shit, you might be a pussy. If you take off work or you're unemployed to go protest wearing a mask, I want to punch you in the face and you're a pussy. If you're offended by the fact that I'm saying the word pussy this many times, you might be a pussy. And last but not least, if you don't like Ad Odds Podcast, you are most certainly a fucking pussy. Boom. That's my segment for the week, fellas.
And I jerk off to pictures of my girlfriend all the time.
You don't have a girlfriend. Who? Cindy Lauper? old 80s picture? Hey, that's just a quick list. I got more
later. That was good. I'm looking forward to round two of You Might Be a Pussy. So I can agree with, I'd say 90% of those.
Which ones don't you agree with?
Oh, I mean, I didn't even vote for Hillary, but I don't think everybody that voted for her is pussy.
Oh yeah, hey, I got an ad one.
This one, Bernie?
If you wear bedazzled jeans, all right? If you have more jewels on your ass than Kim Kardashian jewelry, you are probably a pussy. If your name's Dom and you wear bedazzled jeans, you're a pussy.
That's all right. He doesn't listen to the show anyway. So he was already a pussy.
Right?
Yeah.
Got all right. More thread, fucking make a piece of carpet. All right.
Go ahead. All right. So it is time now for Hem's Gems of the Week.
Wow, winning.
All right. I'll keep this one short and simple. There are two things. One's a gem, one's an anti-gem, actually. The first one, Preacher. If you've never heard of it, it's on AMC. The television series is interesting. It's really well done, actually. But you should also, if you want to check out the real good shit, check out the comic series. I have all of them. I've read through them all. They're insane. It's basically about a guy that inherits this ability to tell anyone what to do, and they have to do it, like the voice of God, basically. And it's incredible. And it just goes on these crazy adventures. He's trying to find the real God who has kind of abandoned heaven. And there's a lot more to it than that, but I don't want to spoil anymore. But incredibly well done story. Definitely not for little kids. So Preacher, check it out. And then in terms of what you should not check out, do not watch Bill Nye Saves the World, or whatever the hell the new Bill Nye show is on Netflix. I watched the first episode and it was okay. It was about climate change, which I'm fine with. But then he started going into like some really stupid shit in all the later episodes, and it completely threw me off, and I just can't stand it. And I'm so disappointed because he was a childhood hero of mine, got me interested in science. We used to just watch episodes of his show in Mr. Zeitzheim's class in seventh grade because it was so good. And now he's getting all preachy and moralist. He's talking about gender is a spectrum. He's got all kinds of really goofy, stupid shit. And then to top it all off, there was a big thing on this Indian dude preaching to white people about cultural appropriation. Just pissed me the fuck off. Come on, Bill, you're better than that. Like, that's not science. That's morals. That's values. That's opinion. Yours is the science guy. I want to hear about fucking science. That's why I watched you. That's why I liked you in the first place. So don't watch the new Bill Nye thing on Netflix. You'll just hate yourself.
Hey, what did you think of that? He was talking about, is it maybe time to start putting a limit on people having kids? Do you see that shit?
I'm fine with that. I mean, Jesus, we're overpopulating the planet. I wouldn't mind just sterilizing all the retards. All right,
so I have a question about that. Holy fucking shit. Did you say that? We're going to get fucking kicked off now.
No, there's like a freaking word for it. My brother's totally into it, too.
Let's castrate the retards.
Yeah. Hang on. I got to think of the word for it. There's a thing about like weeding out the weak DNA. You know what I mean?
Survival of the fittest?
No, I forget the word for it. It's totally like not cool. But like I've always kind of thought about it, like because it always feels like the dumb people outfuck the smart ones, you know. Like the first kid people to have kids out of high school were always the biggest retards, usually, like in your graduating class. You know what I mean? So like a lot of the smart people, like they want to wait, they want to find that perfect person, they want to be like as responsible as possible. So
you know, I'm not gonna lie, I don't think there's a lot of mentally retarded people out there breeding.
I don't know. I think there should be an IQ test to be able to.
Oh, listen. I find it ironic that you don't, like, not you personally, but liberals in general are very pro-choice, but a lot of them are also agreeing with Bill Nye saying we should limit babies. So you're going to fucking give people, you're telling people they have a choice with their body, but then you're telling them they don't have a choice on how many family members they have. I mean, it's such a hypocrisy.
All right, well, give me 1 second. We have a caller. I want to check in on who it is and if they have.
Probably somebody with a retarded child, Hemi.
Maybe. We'll see.
Oh, man, I'm really interested to see what this caller is, guy. I hope it's somebody who's going to unload on one of us. I'd like a good debate tonight while I drink my Summerfest crisp lager. Oh, my Lord. Me and Brett Lobb, we've made some awesome mojitos this weekend. Smashed them with some sugar water. Who was it?
All right. We have Mike, who has something he wants to say. So, Mike, take it away. Floor's yours. I think it's Brett, but...
Brett?
My name is Micah.
I'm freezing up.
All right. Okay, thanks for calling in, Mike. I have no idea what the fuck that was about.
It's not Brett either.
Yeah, I don't know what that was.
I was name is Micah.
That was him? He said that?
No, it wasn't. Brett used to do that. He had a character he played with a banana. He used to play with a banana and shit. Hey, Mike, if you're there, buddy, just call back, dude. We'll work with you. Whatever you got to say, man.
I gave him a second, and he just sat there. Was that him saying, I'm freezing up?
Yeah, that was him.
I don't know what the fuck that was, so I hung up. I felt really controlled. And if we were going to get trolled, at least be creative. So,
I don't think he was trolling us. Maybe if he was, you're bad at it. And if you weren't, it's all right. Mike, call back in. We'll talk to you. You only got a couple minutes, though.
Mm-hmm. So, did you have any bets you'd like to give out for this weekend?
Nah,
or
not this week.
Not this week. Another tough one, going one and two.
I got to tell you guys, I am a football bettor. I like football. I'm mainly college football at that, but I love NFL too. All my successful betting has always been football. I only throw in basketball bets when I make bigger parlays. Like the biggest parlay, I hit a 13-game parlay once, and it was like maybe I had like 4 basketball games in it at one time earlier last year. But I don't like betting basketball. It's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's not my forte. So, you know, I wanted to have a nice betting segment for you guys for basketball season, but it's just not my forte. I'm more of a big-time football gambler. So, I'll continue to give you some bets, but it's hurting my record here. I have an outstanding pick rate in football, like an outstanding one, a huge. But it's just basketball's shitty. Yeah. And I'm not even going to touch baseball.
You can always just limit down to your favorite one instead of giving out 3, 4, 5, whatever.
Yeah, we'll do that. Mm-hmm. We'll do that.
All right. Well, Mike is back. So, Mike, we're going to give you one more chance. Do you got anything you'd like to say? Because last time we didn't hear anything, so I had to hang up.
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about my story about getting abducted by aliens.
All right, let's hear it.
And, let's hear it. We're looking forward to it.
Aliens, and they told me that we have to move out of the solar system because that they're going to take over. So we have to find a way to get Earth out of this solar system. So I don't know how that's going to work. I don't know if we're going to have to move the people to a different universe or we're going to have to move the Earth itself out of this universe. Any suggestions on that, guys?
Well, it kind of sounds like the theme to, what was that, the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Universe.
No, this isn't a joke. I was abducted last night.
All right, well, let's see. Do you think that we need to leave this entire galaxy, or do you think we can go cultivate another planet that's within this galaxy?
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm talking about here. I don't know how we would move the planet Earth itself. I don't know if we would have to make, like, battle thrusters, like, the size of countries to, like, get us out of this universe.
I don't know, man.
Futurama. Remember all the robots released their exhaust at once, and it moved the Earth far enough away from the sun that they prevented global warming.
I'm more interested.
You'd have to leave the solar system.
Like, I'm
that
talking
could make
about
it.
Building, like, you know, like bow thrusters or jets. They have to be humongous, like the size of states. Like, we're going to have to knock out some states and build giant bow thrusters. And we're going to have to, like, propel ourselves out into a different universe that's livable of the sun temperature.
Yeah.
What state would you knock off first?
Is it more sensible to find another life on a different planet? That's my question.
I think it's more sensible. Yeah, it's definitely more sensible to find life on another planet. My question is, you got abducted
or
last night.
Or physically moving the Earth. That's
not feasible. I'm gonna say that's not feasible. I don't think we could ever move the Earth out of the solar system. But if you got abducted last night, tell me that experience. Tell me exactly what happened.
Well, you got that wrong because I'm coming up with a plan.
That's fucking sweet, but I want to know. I want to know.
Listen, how here, you got they abducted? They doubted Einstein when he was gonna make light. And you're all going to doubt me about moving the Earth out of the universe.
Einstein didn't make light. I don't know. But, hey, I do want to know, if you got abducted last night, who abducted you, what they look like, and what they say? And did you get probed?
I was very disoriented, and they did probe me, and they stuck things up my asshole, and it still hurts to this day.
All right.
Well, we have
another caller, Brandon. So we're going to bring them on. So we really
appreciate you talking, Mike. Thanks. I had to let him go.
We got another caller. We can't keep letting guys talk about getting their assholes probed all day. We're bringing in Brian. So welcome to the Ad Odds Podcast.
Thanks, fellas. Yeah.
How you doing?
That was too much for me right there. All right. I thought he was going to go more along the lines
of
South Park there with, you know, the show Earth, you know?
Oh, yeah. Or Cartman needs an anal probe.
Yeah, they try to get it fixed.
Yeah.
Wow, that was compelling stuff right there.
So I take it
when I was shaving my ball pro there, you guys were talking about rape. You guys were talking about Garyon Conley.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that awful? You know what, though? One thing, though, is, you know what? She could be just trying to get a payday, though. Remember before Zeke even got drafted, all that stuff with his ex-girlfriend that went down? I mean, he hadn't even been drafted yet.
She
was out there with all that BS. I don't know. I read that. I think that it looked like he's going to go, that he drops down in the third round. I mean,
I don't know, man. It's like one of those things where they Well, with Zeke, I think that girl was just pissed at him, and she was trying to just kind of destroy his career more than trying to get a payday. I think she was just trying to ruin his life. This chick, I don't know what's going on because I don't know who it is. And from what I've read, there's a good chance that he doesn't even get drafted just because nobody wants to deal with that shit. And what happens is if it turns out to be true, one, he could be suspended for a whole season or two seasons, or he could go to fucking prison and they'll never get anything out of him and they wasted a pick on him. So you never know, man. It's sad. Well, he's a hell of a talent.
Oh, yeah. I mean, shit, you know, it was like shit, even Jabril Peppers. I said, wow, the Browns couldn't have got that guy at a better value right there with a diluted drug test.
Yeah, for real.
Yeah, especially with how bad they need
the first round.
Yeah, with how bad they need help in their secondary, if they could somehow snag him with a second round pick, like not even their first second round pick, they've got multiple. So if they could somehow snag him, like maybe even their second round pick, that'd be insane to me.
I'm telling you right now, I'm still not sold on this Trubisky bullshit. In the least bit. In my perfect Browns draft, we go with Myles Garrett with one, and by the grace of some higher being, Malik Hooker sitting there at 12. And you give me that dude all day, and I will immediately buy me a Browns jersey, not just because it's a Browns jersey, but it's a Browns jersey that says Hooker on the back, because that would be pretty badass to have.
Yeah, I think that – I don't think Hooker's going to be there. I think he's going to go real early, like 5 or 6, but that Jamal Adams is going to be – he's my favorite player in the draft, I think. Not my favorite, but he's like somebody I'm really high on. I think he'd probably be sitting there around 9, 10, 11 range, and even 12 maybe, but I think Browns should just trade up and get him.
I don't know if he would be there, to be honest, at 12.
I don't think he will. I think he could be there at 12.
But I'll tell you who else I'd take at 12. If you've got those two guys off the board, I would take Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, you can take him. Mm-hmm. Quincy Wilson out of Florida. Yeah. You guys need a cornerback.
Yeah,
there's a lot of good secondary in this draft. It's deep, and I think
this
you can.
Draft
yeah,
is deep in defensive back and defensive tackle, and
tight
ends.
Back. I think.
And
tight ends.
Well, yeah. One thing I wouldn't do is take Anthony's dumbass advice and, you know, waste any of my early picks on Leonard Fournette like an idiot.
Anthony doesn't fucking care. He doesn't know anything. He just wants that stud star player that's not going to help.
And it wouldn't even be him. I honestly think Dalvin Cook's a better fucking running back than Leonard Fournette anyways.
Yeah, he's a dumb fuck too, though. You never know what you're going to get out of his character.
No. Oh, shit. These days with these kids, you have no idea what you're going to fucking get out of any of them.
Now, hey, Brian, is there any quarterback you think the Browns should go for? Like, cause there's a bunch for me that have red flags.
Yeah, I've got a steal. I've got a steal way deep because he'll be there. Webb. Webb, all day. I've been saying this from the get-go. He is going to be the gem.
Dude, I like Peterman. I heard Peterson, Nate Peterson, See, I liked what I saw of him during the season, and then Gruden started really hyping him up, and then so I started watching these videos on him. That dude's good. From Pitt, Nate Peterson?
Yeah.
He's going to be a good quarterback. I think Gruden's single-handedly bringing him up a couple rounds just by the way he talks about him. I have another question for you, Brad.
The power of Gruden. What's up,
buddy? What do you think of my "you might be a pussy" rant?
I like it. I pretty much agreed with every bit of it. I've never once beat it to a picture of Alex. I don't even think I have a picture of Alex anywhere around my house.
Hey, what do you think of those stupid strap sandals that I was talking about?
I don't think I've ever seen them personally.
Dude, those are like hiking boots, but they're just strapped sandals. They strap like 4 times over their feet. And those old dudes wear it like
gonna
the boat.
I think, you know, that's one of those times where it's okay to just walk right up to another man and just give him a nice, solid blow to the testicles. It's no problem. Not even a second guess.
And last but not least, if you could move this planet to another solar system, how would you do it?
You got me stumped there. I, you know what? I mean,
Might as well just crack open some tall boys and call it a fucking life.
That's pretty much the plan. So
that dude wants to knock out some countries. The fucking state wants to knock out Israel and Michigan.
That's what he said while I was screening this one.
Wow.
I'm just assuming
Israel
that's who he wants.
And Michigan. See, I'm okay with Michigan, but Israel, I mean.
Kind of need that.
That guy was from Maryland, by the way. That's what his area code was. Wow. I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea who that guy was.
Well, if you guys are reaching all the way out to Maryland, you guys are getting famous. I like it.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I hope he calls back next week with a fucking more solid plan.
Yeah.
All right, Brian, we're going to get out of here.
Thanks, guys. Take it easy.
No problem, bud.
Yep. Really appreciate you stopping by. So we love hearing crazy feedback, whether good or bad. So if you guys have anything you'd like to say to us, you can email us at oddspodcast@gmail.com. You can just send us a message on our Facebook page, At Odds Podcast. We're on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/AtOdds. We're also on YouTube, At Odds Podcast on YouTube. We put all of our segments on there, all of our interviews. We put all of our full episodes, Sharple's Rants. There's a lot of fun stuff on our YouTube page for those that don't want to listen to the whole podcast at once. Like today's episode's an hour and 35 minutes. You don't have that much time. You want to listen to one thing specific, it's right there. So,
yeah.
And then, of
plus
course,
we had those technical difficulties, which I'd like to apologize for. It's never happened to either of us one time. So it's kind of weird that we both had them problems.
I'm wondering if it was just you the whole time and you just weren't able to hear me because of your technical difficulties.
No, Brett said that he couldn't hear you either. It came back to me. I think it might have been our Blog Talk Radio. Just maybe it just was messing up for each of us.
Yeah, it wouldn't be Blog Talk because then we'd both be out.
When I disconnected and I connected back, it worked just fine. And when you did the same thing, it worked.
Yeah.
You know?
We'll find out. But it all ended up working out. I'll take a look at it and see if there's anything I can chop when we're done. But, I think that's about everything for today's show. So really appreciate having some callers. We appreciate having some guests. Dogs by Nature, the Brown site, Daily Norseman, the Viking site. Check both of those out if you're a fan of either team, want to know some more information. And I think that'll just about do it. So,
all right, guys.
Myself.
Love you guys. Thanks for appreciating you guys listening. So have fun.
Yeah. And get trolled, bitches.
Insurance-minded speeches from GEICO.
Hardship. My grandmother would go through it every month to pay her insurance bill. First, she would handwrite a paper check, in cursive. Then, using her own tongue, she would wet a stamp for an envelope. Today, however, we need not weary our hands and tongues. Today, we can pay our GEICO bill with the GEICO app. Away with hardship, in with bill pay on the GEICO app. Thank you.
Meet Lauren Askenosi of Askenosi Chocolate.
Our dream is to make chocolate that not only tastes good, but does good. We source our cocoa beans directly from small farmers and share the profits back with them.
At American Family Insurance, we believe your dreams are the most valuable things you will ever own. So today, we're supporting Lauren's dream.
If people want to get involved, they can just buy some of our chocolate.
Every dream deserves a champion. Find yours at AmFam.com. American Family Insurance.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company and its affiliates. 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin, 53783.